Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
Our guest today, Ann Akiko Myers, violinist. Welcome to Crossover, Ann.
Thank you, Jill. I love being on your show.
I love your new album. And of course, I've known your name through the years as being such a fine, fine musician. But this is a debut for the Koch label. Is that right? Is that the first
that
one?
That is right.
Done? Yeah.
Yes.
And it's a very eclectic mix of music. How did you arrive at the programming?
It is and it isn't, in that this is very much based on fantasy and folklore. And there are three fantasies on the album by Arvo Pärt and a premiere by Messiaen, as well as the Franz Schubert, the great fantasy that
which
he wrote
is, by the way, an exquisite recording that you made. It's really
very, very beautiful. And the other works on the album are folkloric and feeling, and but yet the theme of the album actually it ties all together, because the greatest songwriters of all history wrote all the repertoire, including Piazzolla, mm-hmm. and Charlie Chaplin, Harold Arlen, masterpiece
right.
of Over the Rainbow.
Right.
And the two Japanese pieces, too, which are very haunting and
well,
beautiful.
The Moonlight Over the Ruined Castle is really a star on that album. It's gorgeous the way you've played it. And the Sea in Spring, Haru no Umi, is very interesting. You said that the piano was prepared, was it, a little bit, to sound like a koto? Is that right?
Exactly, yeah. For the listeners who don't know what a koto is, it's basically like a harp that you place on the floor.
Yeah.
And so we had the piano strings taped down, and it sounded almost exactly like a koto. And Michio Miyagi, who was a blind koto player, composed the violin part really for shakuhachi, which is a bamboo flute.
Wonderful flute, and it has a kind of a hoarse sound, the shakuhachi flute.
Yeah, like a lot of Zen kind of meditative albums feature the shakuhachi. And so I love having my 1730 Stradivarius violin sound exactly like a Japanese shakuhachi.
How do you think the Strad feels?
Having some soy sauce on it.
Well, yeah. Now, you kind of slide, don't you, when you want to sound like the shakuhachi? Isn't that right?
And it's with the bow, too. I tried to make it sound a little, like, whistly so that the tone was like a flute.
How do musicians get these immensely valuable instruments?
Well, you either rob a bank or you get very lucky and have a sponsor or foundation loan you a violin. But this violin it's quite extraordinary story, in that an amateur collector had been playing it for about 50 years, and his widow decided to put it on the market. But she really had to choose who the violin went to. It was very emotional for her, as it should be. And she heard me play the violin in Carnegie Hall and actually took the violin back, which I thought was, very painful at the time.
But complimentary, I guess.
But I guess you really didn't like the concert. No, but she actually, we could not figure out the price of the violin. It was just, it was way beyond my reach. And finally, I wrote her a long letter telling her that finding the right violin is very much like finding the right marriage partner. It's so intimate and personal, and it becomes an extension of yourself. It is your voice that you are traveling mm-hmm. all over the world with and hopefully sharing with audiences all over. And once she read that letter, I got a phone call and was told, okay, she has decided to sell it to you.
Well, I think that that's very, you're probably right about that. You probably can find a violin easier than the right partner, though.
But I don't know. I've been looking my whole life.
Well, you've got 50% at least, so, or maybe 90%. But you also are, I mean, you're an Avery Fisher award artist, and you studied with Dorothy DeLay and Gingold. You were at Juilliard, right, for a while there?
Yes, I was. Yeah. It was a really great time to be there at Juilliard because everybody was pretty much the same temperamental little challenging person.
Well, I went to Juilliard a long time ago, so I know what you're talking about. I think that it's a dog-eat-dog business, music. So I guess you really are introduced to it when you go to conservatory. You get the real sense of what's ahead of you. But you have achieved tremendous success, and justifiably so. And in talking to you, I would say that the album, although it has some lighter things on it, is a very profound, emotionally profound album. Your Smile album. It touches you on many levels with various works, and I'm so glad you did it. We'll play it a lot on the station. And Anne, please keep us informed about your future plans. And certainly if you come to the East Coast and you hover around Philadelphia, we'd love to speak to you again.
Thank you, Jill.
It's a pleasure.